You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev.
Our top story brought to you by ProAmSports.ca. Get all your NFL apparel, tees, headwear, and signed and unsigned memorabilia today at ProAmSports.ca. Joining us from MMA Mania is our good friend Jesse Holland. Jesse, there's a lot going on in the world of MMA. John Jones flagged for another doping violation. This broke yesterday just after 6 o'clock Edmonton time. Where were you when you found out this news, and what was your first reaction?
Well, what was interesting is I was on a flight, and apparently it broke while I was in the air. And the entire flight, I was in the air about 5 hours. I thought to myself, you know, I wonder what Conor McGregor / Floyd Mayweather article I'm going to have to write when I land. And then as soon as I got cell service, my phone just started blowing up. And I said, well, here we go again.
What was, besides the here we go again, what was your first reaction? Did you think about Daniel Cormier? Did you think about John Jones and the heck of a 30 for 30 he's going to have in about 10 years? Like, what went through your mind when you found out this?
You know, initially I was extremely disappointed because I thought, and I think a lot of MMA fans thought this, after his performance at UFC 214, and particularly the way he composed himself after the fight, humble in victory. He was praising Daniel Cormier for being a classy champion in his absence. And it really sounded like he had matured. It really sounded like he had learned from his mistakes in the past and that he was ready to move forward for what I believe he still is. And that's the greatest mixed martial arts fighter who ever competed. Unfortunately, yet another mistake by the Jones camp, or Jones himself, pretty much throws all that in the trash.
So obviously we're still very early on in this process, but does he ever make his way to the octagon again?
Well, there's a couple things that stick out in this instance for me, and it's for those fans who don't know, Jones popped for Turinabol, which is an anabolic steroid. But I think what's interesting to me is that I don't see a failure in the out-of-competition drug testing, rather in competition. It's usually the other way around as athletes cycle off the steroid coming into a fight. For him to be clean and then dirty right before the fight, it just wouldn't make sense to me for an athlete of Jones' caliber and his experience to be taking something that's not going to give him that much of an advantage, if any, on fight night. So there are definitely some questions that need to be answered from that end. And it's also difficult for me to believe, based on what he just went through, on top of all the other things he's had to deal with outside the cage, including his run-in with the law, et cetera, that he would be this reckless, this careless, or the people around him would allow him to be in that situation. So I'm not ready to put the final nail in the coffin just yet. However, things certainly don't look good.
We're joined by Jesse Holland from MMA Mania. There's a lot obviously has to go through yet, but has Jones been stripped of the title just yet, or is he still technically the UFC light heavyweight champion?
Jones is provisionally suspended until a formal hearing, and he's going to have his B sample tested, which means he does have another sample that USADA has to put through the ringer to make sure that this was, in fact, not a false positive. So we still have a couple hoops to jump through before we can say, okay, yes, this is no longer a potential violation. It is a straight-out violation. If that's the case, at that time, I do believe USC will strip him of the title. He's looking at, considering he already failed not too long ago, he's looking at up to a 4-year suspension, which would just be devastating for his career. This is the same substance that Frank Mir was suspended for, and he ended up on the bench for 2 years. So certainly this is very dangerous waters for John Jones.
If you were UFC president Dana White, how would you have reacted when you got that text or that email last night when you're in the middle of promoting a boxing match?
I tell you, I bet you once the cameras went off, the F-bombs are flying. White has... Right before he came back, right after the UFC 200 debacle where Jones was pulled because of the drug test, Dana White said that John Jones would never headline another UFC pay-per-view for the rest of his career because he didn't want to be in this exact situation. He eventually relented because, let's face it, Jones is one of the top stars in the company. He's one of the top earners, brings in the pay-per-view buys. Eventually relented, brought Jones back into a main event, and found himself right back in the situation he didn't want to be in. So I can just imagine he had steam coming out of his ears. And for Jones to come back, if in fact he's found guilty, if he comes back, it's going to be a very, very different UFC in terms of how he's promoted and where he ends up in future fights.
The UFC was sold about 13 months ago to WME, and in that 13 months, Ronda Rousey has lost again. John Jones has been tested positive, and Conor McGregor is now boxing. If you're one of the figureheads at WME, you're going to be a little upset you just spent $4 billion on a product that maybe is already beginning to decrease in value.
And what's interesting about this organization that purchased UFC is it's the reason they are who they are is because they're able to take athletes, actors, personalities, and make them into superstars based on what they're able to accomplish in their respective sport or area of expertise. And now you have all these top stars. Ronda Rousey got knocked out in two straight fights. John Jones can't pass a drug test. And Conor McGregor is doing whatever the hell he wants. So how they plan to promote these people when they're all over the board, I just don't know where they're going to get the return for their dollar, especially when you look at some of these divisions. They're looking pretty bleak in terms of star power. You look at Conor McGregor and you try to go down from there, it's a long way down.
Joined by Jesse Holland from MMAmania.com discussing the suspension to John Jones. Well, you mentioned if you take Conor McGregor out of it right now, who would be the face of the UFC?
Well, I think they're putting all their eggs in the George St. Pierre basket, and he's coming back. And I tell you, for a return fight, I'm not that excited for to see him facing Michael Bisping. I think he belongs at welterweight. I think a fight against Tyron Woodley and maybe Conor McGregor at welterweight somewhere in 2018, those are the money fights. And we also don't know how this generation of MMA fans is going to respond to St. Pierre, who was, of course, the biggest star of yesteryear. But MMA years are like dog years. It might as well be a decade since St. Pierre last competed. And it's very much what have you done for me lately in terms of fan appeal. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when St. Pierre comes back later this year.
John Jones defeated Daniel Cormier at UFC 217. Cormier has a record of 19-2, both of the losses coming to John Jones. First of all, or two questions, could he potentially be the face of the UFC? And two, how does he feel about the guy that he can't beat can't beat the drug test?
I think it was easy to digest the first time they fought because Cormier came out of that fight. It wasn't a blowout. It was a close decision. Cormier was the face of that division. But we're talking about a couple years ago now, and Cormier is getting up there in age. I don't think he has the same appeal coming out of a knockout loss to Jones. It's going to be very, very difficult to put the belt back on him and call him the champion. However, I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch between him and probably one of the other top contenders in the division, Alexander Gustafsson. They had an absolute war when they went at it at UFC 192. Excellent fight, probably one of the top light heavyweight fights in the past 5 years. I'd love to see that again for the title if it's taken from Jones. Volkan Ozdemir is up there. So there are some options at 205 pounds, but none of them are Jones. And I think once you realize that if you take Bones out of the equation, the division, it might as well be any other division. It's just not as special.
John Jones, after his victory, called out Brock Lesnar, who's had his own issues passing drug tests. And Jesse, I know you cover real fighting, MMA and boxing, but are we really that far away from seeing John Jones versus Brock Lesnar in a WWE ring?
I think, you know, when we talk about what happens to these fighters at the end of their career, if John Jones goes away and he's suspended and he has nothing to do, there's really no reason for him to not show up on WWE programming. They already have things in the works for Ronda Rousey to show up and start competing in the WWE ring, because why not? There's still some star power there. She still has a name. So it would not surprise me to see Jones show up in some capacity in pro wrestling. I don't think it's going to be against Brock Lesnar, or I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, just because Jones has so much extra baggage in terms of what happened to him in outside of fighting and his legal issues.
Jesse, you mentioned you were on an airplane yesterday, 5 hours. Do you happen to be going to Vegas to take in Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor?
I happen to be leaving Las Vegas.
Okay.
Went to Hawaii and then was coming back from Hawaii when the news broke. So it seems like every time I get on the plane, something catastrophic happens. So I'm not going to go anywhere for a little while.
Okay, well, you mentioned McGregor can do whatever the hell he wants, and he is doing that. He's fighting Floyd Mayweather on Saturday night in a boxing match. You cover MMA. You've covered Conor in the octagon, now in the ring. What do you make of this entire spectacle that we're going to see Saturday night?
I say kudos to all involved. I think it's a ridiculous idea that a fighter who's never boxed professionally in his life is going to go in and make problems for probably one of the greatest boxers of this generation or any generation. If you really look at what he's been able to do, they keep talking about Conor's power punches, and Mayweather, of course, one of the best defensive boxers who ever lived, turned away bigger, stronger opponents in the past, like Canelo Alvarez, and the whole thing is a farce. We knew it was a farce going in, but they did such a great job of promoting it. Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather are such big stars in their respective sports that they're able to convince fans that it's worth watching. So I think from that end, it's a success. In terms of the fight itself, I think it's going to be a total bore.
Will you be tuning in on Saturday night?
I have no choice. That's what they pay me to do. But if it was my own $100, which is what it's going to cost to watch this thing in high definition, I might be just following it on Twitter.
Jesse, I appreciate the time. Thanks for this, and enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll chat soon.
My pleasure. See you next time.
Jesse Holland from MMA Mania.